It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We have a great panel. Serenity Caldwell is here, Lisa Edichico, and it's the return of Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, doctor, we're going to talk about the big Sony hack, Apple, the lawsuit against Apple. They're down to the last plaintiff, and how Google could tell you're not a robot. It just takes a click of a mouse. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT This Week in Tech, episode 487, recorded December 7th, 2014. Chop it down and call it Tony. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Little Bits, the easy way to build electronics with modular building blocks. Go to littlebits.com and enter the promo code TWIT to receive $20 off your first purchase of $80 or more. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. That's Stamps.com, offer code TWIT. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. For a 30-day free trial, visit GoToMeeting.com today. And by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting snacks right to your door. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like lemon tea biscuits. To get your complimentary NatureBox sampler, visit naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. And there, as is always, a lot of tech news and a great panel ahead for you. Welcoming back Serenity Caldwell. Last time Serenity was here, she was working at a little Macintosh magazine, which has since gone out of business, called Macworld. But I'm so glad the folks at iMore picked you up. She's now at iMore.com.
I'm very grateful that the folks at iMore, especially Renee and Richie, picked me up. He's a good dude.
I was pissed. I wanted you. Was there a bidding? I heard. Was there a bidding war? Because nobody told me.
I actually, when things at Macworld started getting a little rocky, I actually reached out to Renee and I was smart. Like, "Hey, I like your stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have an opening?"
And you're still working with Jason on The Incomparable, right?
I am. Yes, we're working on some radio play shenanigans. Hopefully, early next year.
I love that. If you can, in any way, mix us into the mix. I've always wanted to do radio theater. You know, really, our audience wants us to do tech, and we stick with tech. But we have such a great facility. We could just do the greatest theater here. And I've wanted to do that all along. So anyway, I can help you out. We should mention that Serenity is just back from roller derby.
I am, yes.
Yeah. What's your roller derby handle?
R2 Detonate. And, so very, very nerdy.
And last time you were on, you explained to me that you play all the positions. You're not always any one position in roller derby.
Yeah, I tend to play a jammer, which scores the points, but also a blocker who prevents the other jammer from scoring points, and a pivot, who's a blocker who can occasionally become the person who scores points.
The jammer, and I remember this from the days when I was a kid watching the Bay Area Bombers. That's a crazy job because they basically hurl you through the line of other people, and you got to get people are hitting you and. It's crazy.
Yep. People are hitting you and you got to dodge things. And more recently, it's been a sort of a pushing game. So you have to have the strength to kind of push through these standstill walls and jump around them, which is kind of fun.
I admire you so much. That's so cool. And Serenity, you're in New York still.
No, in Boston. Yeah.
Boston.
Although I will be in New York next week because my sister's coming to visit.
Awesome. Great to see you. Hey, we haven't seen this fella in so long and it's been way too long. Oh, Dr. Owen J.J. Stone. Is here.
Am I me? Is that me?
That's
that
you. You look like you got. Wait a minute.
You got some stuff on your face. Let me clean that off.
Would you polish?
There you go.
Polish that
you
up.
Look good.
Yeah. Are those wings coming out of your head? What is that coming out of your head?
Those are my daughter's boxing gloves.
Oh, good. All right.
If anybody says their antlers or anything like that, you can come over and you have my little guardian come and light you up.
Doctor. She is so cute.
She is a purple belt in jujitsu currently and my personal ninja. I'm sending her to North Korea to handle this Sony leak.
Good.
Good. You know, they don't expect the little people to come in.
Dr. Dada.
And do something. That's right.
We love Dr. Dada. Great to have you back on.
Thanks for having me.
We missed you. And we want to welcome a new member to the panel. And it's so good to have. Okay, I'm going to do it. Lisa Etichico.
Yep, you got it.
I did it. Yay. Lisa writes for Business Insider. She covers tech and has covered tech for a variety of publications. And as you can see, she is a drummer. Her drum kit right behind her. Great to have you, Lisa. Welcome. I warned Lisa about you, Owen. It's going to be a crazy show.
Oh, okay.
Great. Look forward to it.
I should behave myself. Yeah, I'm just here to make fun of things. I don't have nothing serious to say. As the chat room will repeat, why is he even here? He's not a tech journalist.
No, we love you. You are. No. You don't have to be anything. You're Owen. You're Doctor.
I'm your nephew. I'm like the cousin that has to come over. You had to deal with me, and I'm family. That's the only reason I'm here.
I got to tell you, Serenity just got off roller derby practice, jammed some food down her throat, and is here. But Owen is missing the Eagles game, and that is even a bigger deal.
It's stressful. I didn't even shower over it or anything. I was all stressed out. I smelled funny.
What's the score? We've hired a person to sit in over here and watch the Eagles game so I can feed you the score. He has got his laptop open. He's got the game on. He's even wearing an ugly Eagles Christmas sweater.
And he just got a raise and a company car as well.
Jeff,
Uncle Leo is in the giving spirit for this holiday season, let me tell you.
Jeff, I just want you to, if there's a touchdown, go do the touchdown thing. If there's pass interference, just grab your wrist. You know, do the whole thing, okay? All right. Jeff Needles is in charge. Big story this week. Actually, there were several, but the big story, I guess, is the Sony Pictures Entertainment hack, which many people said is the worst corporate breach in American history. It couldn't get much worse than this. Sony Pictures, as you may remember from the news last week, we heard something. There's a virus. They've sent people home. All the systems are shut down. Something's gone wrong for a couple of days. And now we're starting to see leaks. Journalists are getting links on Pastebin to 40 gigabytes of data, pretty much, in fact, I would say everything that was on those Sony computers and that corporate network at Sony Pictures Entertainment has been leaked. We're talking scripts, J.J. Abrams pilots, salaries. You can even deduce employees' romances, but the best part I love is there were folders in the paste bin. The hackers cleverly and conveniently for us journalists organized them. There is a folder called passwords. Secure passwords.txt. They just put it all in a folder on somebody's desktop. FTP passwords, logins to the corporate YouTube accounts for various movies. All of this stuff, and much more seriously, tens of thousands of Social Security numbers, not only for current employees, but for past employees, completely open. Just a mess. The group that claims the hack put hashtag GOP on this defaced website. They're called the Guardians of Peace. We don't know exactly who they are, although we've heard that some of the source code for the hack software is in Korean. And there is some, you know, I think it's speculation because Sony is doing a movie called The Interview that mocks North Korea, that North Korea is a suspect. If you've been watching the coverage, and we've been doing it all week long on TNT, it is as stunning as you can get. Here's the homepage, hacked by hashtag GOP. We've already warned you, and this is just a beginning. We continue till our request be met. We've obtained all your internal data, including your secrets, and if you don't obey us, I don't know what they're asking for. We'll release data shown to the world. Determine what you will. Till November 24th at 11 p.m. GMT. In fact, I don't know if Sony even knew what they wanted, so this stuff was all released. What do you make of this story? This is a scary story. And do you believe North Korea is involved?
I mean, it's really hard to tell at this point. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like reading that message that you just read and reading about it, it seemed like a very like personal attack. Like whoever was behind this really felt like Sony had done something wrong or really has it in for Sony. And yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell if it's North Korea specifically. They definitely don't seem to be really denying that they're behind it. But it's hard to kind of nail it down.
One security expert said, you know, state-sponsored hackers don't create cool names for themselves like the Guardians of Peace. But maybe they're doing that to, you know, take people off the scent.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it could be, you know, another group, you know, that supports North Korea, maybe that just really dislikes Sony for any reason. But yeah, it's just really terrifying. I mean, we're not even just talking about leaked movies or anything like that. It's like literally every single thing that Sony has, every bit of personal information about employees and about the company in general is just out there, which is terrifying.
Fusion.net, which has done a good job of covering this, reports with interviews with former employees that this hack was a long time coming. This is Kashmir Hill writing for Fusion.net. Apparently, Sony's, by the way, here's storycomputerpasswords.doc, systems user IDs and passwords.xl. This is a spreadsheet. Territoriespasswords.xl. The interview budget. The interview, by the way, was that. Yeah, anti-North Korean film. Unix servers XLS. Unlock ID and reset XLS. UPS login and password. Users' names and passwords. Apparently, the person... First of all, there's a couple of issues here. One employee told Kashmir Hill that the information team for the 7,000-employee Sony Pictures Entertainment is 11 people. Of those 11 people... There are only three actual security analysts. The rest are managers. Three managers, three directors, an executive director, and a senior vice president. Apparently, even though they've done risk assessment with third parties, they've ignored the advice. And Kashmir even found an interview with Jason Spaltrow, who was then the executive director of information security at Sony Pictures, an interview in 2007 with CIO Magazine, in which he said... You know, it's a valid business decision to accept the risk of a security breach. Why spend $10 million to avoid a possible million-dollar loss? Apparently, they didn't care if users had passwords like password 123. It's almost a sense, and this isn't the first time Sony's been hacked. They should have been prepared, right, Serenity? I mean, didn't the PlayStation network get hacked too?
That's right. I think it was credit cards and that information for folks who were part of the PlayStation Online. That was, a couple years back?
Mm-hmm.
2011 or 2012, I want to say. Yeah, no, it's a little mind-boggling to think just how far they've gone off the deep end in terms of not being able to securely guard their employees' information. I mean, again, it would be a ridiculous breach if it was just internal confidential scripts and information being breached. But the fact that it's also personal information, including passwords, but also including, you know, employees' names, employees' phone numbers, potential
Social
places
security number.
Where they...
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That kind of stuff, for one thing, that kind of stuff should be kept under lock and key. And we don't even know. I mean, there may be applicants, too. You've applied for a job at Sony. Your information might be in there somewhere.
Right.
Like, that's really scary.
Sony's promised, a credit reporting for people who work there, but for former employees, nothing. Even though their information has been leaked, too.
Exactly. I mean, this is it's a completely widespread hack and complete, like, the outrage is completely justified.
I'm just glad I never worked for Sony.
Me too. I'm glad I never applied to
Holy
work there
cow.
In college because, oh my,
Holy
yeah.
cow. So the PlayStation hack was 3 years ago, April 2011. Okay. 77 million accounts had been stolen, including credit cards. At the time, it was one of the largest data breaches in history. So it's not like Sony didn't know that these things could happen and know that the blowback could be considerable, and they still, whatever.
I'm I think your quote, you know, oh, you know, how, yeah, we, you know, what's $1 million? And if we have to pay $10 million, well, it's not necessarily the $1 million that you might lose on, you know, pre-production expenses. Right. Now that you're looking at employee safeguards, I mean, that's all kinds of doors open for lawsuits, everything else. It's crazy.
Ooh. Ooh.
What?
They're going to get sued.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, Sony is in such a deep hole. Like, this isn't, might be the biggest hack of all time. This is the biggest hack of all time. Somebody put in there Sylvester Stallone's social security number. I know actors and actresses have their social security number out there.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Now, that, when, I mean, when they, we know when that, for instance, James, Sony? We know that James Franco got paid $6,000 to drive himself to work on the interview. I mean, when, the budgets are there.
Those people are going to get, they're going to sue. If I'm Sylvester Stallone, you know what I got to do? I got to change all kinds of stuff in my life because regular people get their ID snatched up and people have fake credit card stuff in their name and they've got to work to get that information. Now everybody and anybody could just go download this information and go do whatever they want to do. Sony has got a huge problem. Like, we might not even have Sony anymore. They might have to like chop it down and call it Tony and start all over again because it is a huge problem.
Actually, Sony is not all that. I don't know about the Sony Pictures Entertainment, but Sony, the total corporation, has actually been suffering badly. Their consumer electronics division is losing money like crazy. In fact, there was a story a few months ago that most of the money Sony makes comes from selling insurance in Japan. This is not a. You may be right. It sounds like hyperbole to say this could be the end of Sony. It could be the end of Sony.
Seinfeld isn't going to save them. That's all I know. Well, I mean, revenue they're getting from Seinfeld, which is outstanding. Like,
oh yeah,
wow. Oh yeah. 16 years old and they're still bringing in like 20. If I was on Seinfeld one time, I probably wouldn't have to work. I get a check for like 30 grand a year. I could live off that. That's like welfare. If I was on one episode of Seinfeld, man, Seinfeld is Jerry. Oh, I can't take it. I looked at that number and I'm like, oh my goodness.
What were they? They showed what the different stations were paying for Seinfeld.
And bartering
reruns?
Each other. Like, it's everything is out there. Like, anything you ever wanted to know is out there. What color socks people were wearing. Like, it is insane.
Who was sleeping
the information
with
whom? They got going on. That's the thing, too. You're taking corporate things with people and then you don't get fired and you're sleeping with your subordinates and you're taking subordinates on an island trip. I need to go work at Sony. Apparently, they got money to burn.
Letters showed that Sony executives were censured but not fired for exactly that, for taking junkets with their girlfriends and charging it back to
subordinates.
And yeah, Sony Tribune Broadcasting syndication deal pays $37,500 per week over the 3 years to air Seinfeld on 9 of its stations. That's $5.85 million. We know how much they paid for The King of Queens, The Dr. Oz Show, All in the Family. If I were Seinfeld, though, I'd be a little worried that my social security number had been leaked. We know how much Seth Rogen and James Franco got paid to be in the interview. I think it's interesting that the GOP is releasing this information, particularly about the interview. I think it's a red herring, don't you? I don't think it's the North Koreans that did this.
Yeah, I don't get that vibe. It might well be Asian hackers, but I don't think it was the government of North Korea, especially when you consider that the interview was actually delayed several months because they did excessive rewrites because they had a contact in the government in North Korea who was like,
can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, if they went to all of this trouble to tone this movie down so they didn't, you know, get government retaliation, I'm not, you know, either there's someone in the North Korean government who's like, this is unacceptable. I'm going to go contact some black hat hackers and make sure.
It sounds like it's that, right? It's black hat. It's not state sponsored. It's black hat. And it may be, for all we know, it's one guy. And as we all know, with the way hackers work, they cover their tracks. The details of this particular hack had shown them routed through 5 or 6 countries. They do everything they can. And in fact, it's a. You see this every time in mainstream media. Oh, it was a Chinese. Because that's, you know, yeah, it was through a Chinese computer, but you don't know who really did the hack.
Aren't all computers Chinese computers?
Ultimately, they all belong to China. Yes.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, you're talking about population. You know, there's just, in general, the population of the world. There's more of the population in Asia than there is.
Yeah, 1/3 of everybody online is Chinese.
Yeah.
In North Korea, however, don't don't deprecate the abilities of the North Korean hacking team, because according to this article from Reuters, Jumin Park and James Pearson writing, there is something called Bureau 121, a cyber warfare cell in North Korea, staffed by really pampered expert hackers. This is, if you want to get a good job in a state that is, you know, for many of its citizens, they're starving. It is a failing state. But if you want to do well, become a... I don't know, if I were North Korea, if I wouldn't have tried to get a job at this place. Military hackers, Reuters writes, are among the most talented and rewarded people in North Korea. Handpicked and trained from as young as 17, their informant Jang Si-yul studied with them at North Korea's Military College for Computer Science, or the... And this is the school I'd like to have a degree from. The University of Automation. He defected in this 6 years ago, but he knows about it. He says Bureau 121 has about 1,800 hackers and is the elite. In North Korea, it's called the secret war. So it is conceivable that there could be cyber warfare from North Korea. And maybe if there's, you know, they're hiding their roots. But why? I mean, look, if you're North Korea, this isn't the first thing you do is hack Sony Picture Entertainment.
It is if you're trying to do a switcheroo. You hack Sony, you leak all this stuff out. Everybody's looking at that. Meanwhile, I'm up in the NSA taking all the good stuff that I need and nobody knows about it for 4 years. And then they don't tell anything. Conspiracy, Illuminati, why is there a pyramid on my money? I don't know.
What? I'm sorry. You lost me with pyramids. Let's take a break. This is why you're here, JJ. Love you. Owen, JJ Stones. Odokta is here. Odokta on Twitter. O-H-D-O-C-T-A-H. OwenJJStone.com. Also Serenity Caldwell. Brand new from iMore.com. I love that new URL. That's a great publication. Renee was so smart to snag you.
Renee is great.
Yeah. We love Renee. He's, of course, a regular on Mac Break Weekly. And you're going to join us. Or you were on Mac Break Weekly when I was out sick this week. Yeah.
This past week. Yeah.
Thank you for doing
that. I had a great time.
Thank you for doing
Absolutely.
That. I'm sad I wasn't
being on another time. I mean, we're doing this today. So
we'll get
got
you
our
back.
FaceTime in. Yeah, of course.
We'll get you back. I had a little food poisoning. I thought it was a flu. I think I had a little food. I took it up a couple of days off. I think I had salmonella. I don't know why I'm sharing that with you right now. Just to say, I'm sorry I wasn't here, but you're glad. Also with us, Lisa Okay, wait a minute. Edachico.
Yep, there it is. You got it.
Businessinsider.com. Great to have you, a newbie. We'll be gentle.
Thank you.
Our show today brought to you by, and you know about these guys. In fact, we're going to send you some. Lil Bits.
I just read about them like 2 weeks ago because I was looking for something like that for my daughter for Christmas. I couldn't remember what it was called. It was driving me crazy because somebody passed it by me. I was like, I should save that. And I didn't, but.
Everybody awesome. Wants to get their kids, you know, more up on how technology works. But once you start playing with the Little Bits kits, you're going to suddenly say, hey, out of my way, kid. I want to play with this a little bit. The first time I saw Little Bits was, I think, 2 years ago. They've got an ever-growing library of modules ranging from simple, like power, sensors, and LEDs, to wireless, even programmable modules. This is a typical Little Bits kit. Unlimited creations, but there's no soldering, and that's so cool. It's a great holiday gift for anybody for 8 years old and up, okay? Whether you're a musician, a programmer, yes, you can make musical instruments with this. A gadget geek, a home project enthusiast, no wiring or soldering, but that doesn't limit you. You can still do great things. I am going to make a Little Bits right now on the show. Are you ready? And then I'll tell you how you can get $20 off your purchase. I think I want to make the tickle machine. All right. Let's see if I can do. How fast can you make a tickle machine? So I do this just so you can understand kind of how it works. There's the power module. And they're all color-coded, which makes it easy. I need a wire module. Now, instead of soldering, these just kind of snap together, and they're magnets, so you can't do it wrong, which is really nice. It all goes together, and you'll know because it's got this very satisfying click when it goes together. There it is. There's the wire. I need a motor, a DC motor. Where is that? Ah, here it is. All right. We're going to snap that in here. I'm doing this from the instructions. I'm telling you, a kid can get it. But what's nice is when a kid does this and gets the satisfaction of doing it right, there's this just great sense of accomplishment. And that's kind of what you want. You'll also learn how this stuff works. Now, for this this little tickle machine to work, I'm going to need something they call the Motor Mate. I'll put that right on here on the end. And now I need a feather. Let me just reach behind me and pluck one. Where'd my feather go? I thought I had a feather here. All right, I won't have a feather. I'll take a little bit of the piece of paper here. How about this? And I'm going to put this on the end, on the little Motor Mate. And if all goes well, do you think this will work?
You got it. You still have to, like, you have the power module connected, but you need to connect the piece to the battery.
Oh, it needs electricity?
Yeah, it might need that.
Oh. Yes, I know that. I haven't connected that right yet. First, I'm going to connect my tickler. Where's my feather? I had one right here. All right. And then I have a battery somewhere. It comes with a 9-volt. There you go. And I'll just put the battery, the juice. Juice is loose. Put the connector in here. Littlebits.com. You can see all the different kits. And there's a variety of price ranges and kits. And you can get the simpler kits. But what's nice is they all work with one another. All right. You ready? Owen, give me your chin here. I'm going to tickle you.
Don't say that on air.
If everything goes well, Owen should laugh right about now.
You did it.
I made a little tickler.
Even a Leo could do it.
Isn't that cool? But you learn what all these parts do, what everything does. There's no soldering, so it's safe. But I think it's the beginning of what could be just a really exciting adventure for your kid or yourself. New customers get $20 off purchases of $80 or more when you go to littlebits.com. Enter the promo code TWIT. There is free shipping in the U.S. for our fans. Littlebits.com, promo code TWIT. And if you build something cool with the Little Bits, do me a favor. Take a picture on Instagram and share it with me at Chief TWIT on Instagram, at Chief TWIT, and I'll show it on a later show.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, you may.
For anybody who watches this show and you have kids, you really should get your child this.
Yeah.
Because all the things you could buy your kids, dolls and things, if you're into technology and you love your children, it's hard to get them to type or work on a computer, but you can give them something they can tangibly put in their hands
they
and
love
build.
It is
great for your kids. Do something for your kids' brain this holiday season and get them Little Bits.
All right, Owen, we'll send you one. You want to get one for daughter doctor?
Yeah, and you can send me one too. I mean, so that way we can both together. I'm just saying, if you got extra money, both together.
Mr. Stone, we will send you a Little Bits kit. No, I think this is a great Christmas gift or holiday gift. Yeah.
This is so cool.
I wish
it had been around. I mean, I did soldering as a kid. Like, my dad showed me how to, like, solder circuit boards together. And that was really neat. But soldering is also, you get the trial and error of,
There's a little bit of burning.
Yeah. I definitely have, like, some scars from soldering gone wrong. And, I mean, it was a useful experience. But this is so neat.
I know.
It's child friendly.
And you can teach them to solder. I mean, eventually soldering is, you're going to want to learn how to solder. But the idea is to, without a huge learning curve, get started to start making circuitry and play with it. I think
absolutely.
It's yeah, Little Bits. I got to say it right so you can find it. Littlebits.com. All right. We have enough commiserating for the poor folks at Sony Pictures Entertainment. Do you just real quickly? I also don't want to reveal too much, right? There's the real temptation. And I think a few, the TMZs of the world are going to go through this with a fine-tooth comb and say, hey, did you see James Franco got $6,000 for driving himself? I said that, didn't I? But that was an example.
Athletes, how much athletes get paid? That part of it doesn't really bother me. Everybody's also in somebody else's business about how much an actor gets paid or
but
how
shouldn't,
much a person
shouldn't
McDonald's
we as
gets
news,
paid.
As news,
McDonald's only get paid $725, so
yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you're right. It's just a little salacious. I don't want to participate in the hack by revealing what the hack revealed. But you're right. I mean, it's not like I'm giving out somebody's social security number. I do have James Franco's phone number if any of you would like it.
I called it twice. He changed it.
Don't you think it'll be hard for Sony to sign people to new motion picture deals?
Oh, they're going to have that conversation over and over again. They better have a solid answer and a solid response. Why am I going to do a picture with you? What are you doing? What are the steps you're taking? What are we fixing? Who are you going to kill?
You know, the only thing that's kind of pathetic. They got movies, too. The big movie they got that's on all the pirate networks, Annie.
Annie, can I tell you, on Thanksgiving, I don't watch like those bootleg movies, but on Thanksgiving,
did you watch Pan?
Three people called me and told me about it. I'm like, Annie's not out yet. They're like, oh, it's all over the internet. I'm like, what? I'm trying to eat my turkey. Don't go.
I hear it's not great. Anybody running out to download Annie, don't. Go to see it in the theater.
I'm going to see it.
Did anybody watch Pan?
I watched a little bit of it. That was a that was an experience. This but again, is... I think...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just... I only really saw the last 30 minutes because I was out
I'm
and
sad.
About.
I wanted to see it. Christopher Walken as Captain Hook.
That was a treat.
And then Peter Pan was, what's her name, Williams, right?
Yeah, Ashley? No.
No. Brian Williams' daughter. I can't remember her name. She's in Girls.
Allison Williams?
Allison.
Yeah. There we go. I knew the A began with an A. Yeah, I mean,
Lisa, did you see it?
No, I didn't. I heard a lot about it, though, but I didn't get the chance to see it.
The Twitter went crazy over it. Like,
yeah,
this is the, and the funny thing is, Allison Williams tweeted before the show, come on, haters, don't be hating on this. And of course, no, that's going to work. Yeah. Tell Twitter to hate. Good luck.
Twitter loves to hate.
That's what Twitter's for.
Twitter loves to snark hate. And especially when you're going to put something on live, which is nationwide for the entire, you know, for people to see, they're going to go after the snarking. Although I will say, like, in defense of live theater is something that is very difficult to produce. They were doing it in a theater with no audience, which I feel like they're just doing it for television cameras.
Right.
And I mean, some of these people have, of course, acted for cameras before, but you're talking about Walken, you know, Walken did a lot, you know, movies, and he's done some SNL skits and everything else. But at the same time, live audience is so crucial to having that, you know, having that connection and being able to actually turn your performance into something static, into something real. And I have to wonder NBC's decision on that front. Like, sure, you don't necessarily want the clapping to come in. But at the same time, acting to an empty theater and knowing that, like, 3,000 miles away, there are lots of people being like, oh, I'm laughing at you, and tweeting it angrily. I mean, I do think that probably had a little bit of an emphasis.
It was weird. It was weird.
You didn't have your daughter watch it?
It was weird. We were watching football. It was Thursday Night Football. We got priorities in the house.
So. You know what? That's why I didn't see it. That's exactly why I didn't see it. So, I found out after the game, anyway.
I taped it, but I never went back to watch it because the snark hate was so bad. I was like, do I really even care?
I think
so. Maybe
and this
we'll
is in our this is in no way our beat. But I agree with you. I saw the Sound of what they did Sound of Music last year. That was exactly my complaint. It's like it's dead because there's no live audience. Just do it in a theater. What's wrong with people going? Do it in a theater. Let people applaud. Have a live audience. It would be so much better. Here's Allison Williams as Peter Pan. Are you sorry you missed it now?
Yeah. I actually like her a lot as an actress.
I love her on Girls.
And the coughing, they have microphones are really good. The microphones wouldn't have picked up the audience that much, except for the rousing moments where people cheered or something like that. Yeah. So just a weird choice.
Yeah. Do we get taken down because I showed Allison Williams going, rack, rack?
That was like 3 seconds. Okay. I think we're good.
It's news. This is fair use.
Never took it full screen either, so.
By the way, I did check, and Sony should start letting the Pirate Bay have their movies ahead of time, because then they know what movies they shouldn't release. So five movies were leaked out, and you can tell what people wanted to see. Brad Pitt's Fury, which everybody wants to see, downloaded 1.2 million times in the first 3 days. Annie. Fewer people want to see, 200,000 times. Something called Still Alice, 103,000 times. But the winner in this, To Write Love on Her Arms. Remember, Fury got 1.2 million downloads, 19,000 downloads for To Write Love on Her Arms. I think that they should not release that movie. I think we just saved them money. We probably saved them billions.
The newfangled focus group. Just release it out into the internet and see how much negative.
See what happens. What could possibly go wrong?
They already made the money, and they already paid the actors, and they already paid the studio, and they already paid the cameraman. You better put that movie out.
They didn't make the money. That's the problem. These were all pre-release, and that's what you don't want. Yeah, that's what you don't want. But is Fury already out? Or is that coming? That's a Christmas.
It's been out.
It's been out. So that's maybe people knew it was good. And it's Brad Pitt. Let's talk about the iPod lawsuit. It was touch and go for the iPod lawsuit. It was on death watch on Friday because they were down to their last plaintiff. So to understand this, you have to go back to the dim dark years of, I think, 2000. What is the year? 2006 through 2009. And we've all experienced this. You have your music as on an iPod. Now, remember, in those days, the only way you get it on was by connecting a 30-pin USB cable to a Mac or a PC, running iTunes and synchronizing, right? That's how you got the music on there. Now, everybody's done this. You go to another computer, you connect it to iTunes because you want to synchronize it, and it says, wait, this iPod is associated with another iTunes. Would you like to erase it? And if you say yes, everything on your iPod is erased, right? And I tell you, people, I've for years got calls from people saying, I didn't mean to click yes, but I did. What do I do now? It was erased. Apparently, this lawsuit's based on that, and it says Apple is preventing music from competing services from working on its iPod. I mean, of course, music from competing services works on the iPod. Maybe it's also, so that's one. But the other one is like Real Player doesn't work on an iPod. Well, yeah, because it's got copy protection on it. And so anyway, this is one of those lawyers put this together because they're going to make some money. The class in this lawsuit is a lot of people, 8 million people. They're asking Apple for $350 million, but it's been going on for years. And the way you know that is one of the witnesses for this is Steve Jobs. This seems to me criminal. They deposed Steve Jobs on his deathbed 3 months before he died. The guy is really sick. Remember how sick he was at the end? And he has to spend a few remaining hours testifying in this stupid case. Well, on Friday they played the Steve Jobs case. They have one plaintiff. They were found somebody who bought an iPod in that time frame, and Jobs said what everybody assumes. Well, we had to do this. The record companies would have, in fact, actively threatened us to pull all their music from iTunes unless we protected them. And the record companies have always considered an iPod the ultimate piracy device. Right? You put 100, as much as 160 gigs of music on it. You go to your friend's house, say, hey, have my music. So it had to do that. It couldn't support others' DRM because, well, that would be crazy. It'd be like having two steering wheels in a car, said Eddie Q. Steve Jobs confirmed what everybody assumed in his, sad to say, deathbed deposition. What do you think of this case? Even if they win half them and they got every penny, half the money gets consumed by the lawyers, and the rest is divided among 8 million people. You'll get a postcard with an iTunes gift card for 50 cents.
The thing to me that really just it makes me frustrated is this is not a lawsuit for something that's still a problem. This right. is something that was a problem back in 2006, and really very shortly it became a non-issue as soon as the DRM curtain was lifted and we got the iPhone, right? I mean, now it's a lot easier to put music from competing services because they're all MP3s.
Right.
And they all, you know, they're all copy free to a certain extent. So I can buy music on Amazon and then put it on my iPhone or on my iPod or, you know, on my non-Apple device if I want to. Like, music has grown and shifted in terms of how the record companies view it. And it's the same thing with movies to a certain extent, that the copy protection is a little stricter on movies and television shows, but there's room and it's growing. The thing that they're suing about is no longer an issue. So they're basically being like, you know that thing that irritated us like five years ago? We want money for it now.
50 cents. I want my 50 cents.
This injustice cannot
anybody
stand.
Anybody here ever have their music deleted from an iPod, though, because they pressed the yes button?
Who even remembers anymore? First of all, like,
probably.
The thing is, I don't know. I mean, the law, when they started the lawsuit, okay, fine. But at this point, lawyers play this game and they drag it out. 8 million people, they'd get $43.75 each person. After you take out the 70%, I don't know what lawyers you deal with.
It's more
lawyers
than half, isn't it?
50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawyers do like a 67-33 yeah. kind of whatever, and then 4% goes to the magicians and the magic. I don't know. But at least 70% is going to these lawyers. So you might get like $4 per person. And who really cares about $4? The lawyers care about it because they're going to get a lot more of that money. So, I mean, just squash it.
Yeah.
Just for that reason. You're not doing it for the people. The four lawyers, yeah. whoever they are going to get that money.
Yeah, it seems like it's really just for the lawyers because no one else is really benefiting from it. I mean, like Serenity said, like there's no, I mean, if people did have songs deleted from their iPods back then, chances are you don't even remember it. And you probably don't even have an iPod anymore. So, I mean, it's just something that people like Apple users aren't even thinking about.
You grew up with the iPod, didn't you?
I had the iPod Touch a few years ago, but before that, I actually had the Dell Pocket DJ.
What?
Years ago, believe it or not.
Oh my God. Look,
she's yeah. a rebel.
What's wrong with your parents?
She's a rebel.
And it was horrible.
Did your dad work for Dell? Seriously?
No. Yeah, exactly. Well, my dad got it for me as a gift one day, and I just remember like being so frustrated because it was so difficult to use, and like I couldn't put anything on there, and it was so slow. Yeah.
You know who identifies with you? Bill Gates' kids. That's what they had to use too, and then they got a Zune.
Oh God! Yeah, I never had a Zune. So.
I still have my 160 gig iPod. It's in my car. I got all my jams.
Me too. And you know they've taken that off the market, the classic, and that's what I have in my car too because it's the last big iPod. Apple stopped making them because they said we couldn't get the parts anymore.
How does that work? How do you not, don't you make the parts?
Did
they come from Mars? Don't you just make the parts?
No.
Don't you make
new
parts?
Hard drives.
They're little bitty hard drives. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't 2.5 inch platters. I think they were smaller than that. And as such, they don't. For one thing, everybody's almost entirely moved over to SSD and flash RAM and RAM. And I think the price cost for 128 gigs, 256 gigs of NAND was going to be too expensive for them to continue offering it at like a $299 price. So if they suddenly started offering like a $500 iPod, people would be like,
they'd line up to buy it because it's Apple.
Here you go. Owen, you need to know this. This is at iFixit.com. The iPod Classic Hard Drive Replacement Manual. Okay, you can replace it. Now get ready because you need a giant putty knife and you gotta wow. jam it in there. You gotta really jam it in there. You gotta really pry. This is gonna hurt. Pry that back off. And then they actually, I think iFixit will sell you the hard drive to put in there. But I was it Hitachi who was making these? It was originally an IBM. There it is.
Toshiba.
It's Toshiba, yeah. And I think they just stopped. They just said, who's going to. But on the other hand, there's a market for them, right?
If mine breaks, I'm just going to take a ride with you and steal yours out of the car.
No, you may not have it.
I'm so sad. I sold mine to my sister. I sold it. And I'm so, although, you know what? I will say Apple makes one good iPod that I actually find an active use for. And that's the iPod Shuffle. The little
baby. Yeah,
the little baby. Because you know what? I hate running with my iPhone. Or in this case, like before roller derby matches, I will put on music and like I'll go and skate. And I don't want to carry my $600 iPhone while I'm skating. I've done it while coaching, but I don't. I'm going fast, so I like have a little tiny Shuffle, and I just like hide it under my clothes, and I don't have to worry about it getting broken because even if it does, it's $40, and you know,
Is the one you have like the square one, or is it it's not the long one?
No, it's a little square one. It's this most recent
generation. And there's no screen.
No, there's not. But you don't really need it if you're just loading up. Like, for instance, my Shuffle is just like rock out music, like pump up music. Exactly. It's like I have White Stripes and Daft Punk and like pump up mixes, electronics.
I feel like Margaret Mead talking to a strange tribe here. So, you have no way of knowing what you're going to play, right? And how much does it hold on it?
One or two gigabytes, I want to say.
Okay, yes. Yeah, this one's 2 gigabytes for $49. So that's what? How much music is that? That's actually a lot. 2 gigabytes is a lot more than the original iPod.
Yeah. Which was no, it's 5 gigabytes.
That was five. Okay.
But yeah, but more than the original Shuffle for sure. Because the original Shuffle, I want to say, was 1 gig or maybe even.
Yeah, it was 512 and 1 gig.
Yeah, exactly.
It was 512 and 1 gig.
Even for somebody to even still have an iPod seems kind of odd.
I've got 300 gigs of music. And I keep 160 of it in my car. If I want to listen to Eminem,
you need
my
classic. Then you could have two of them.
Yeah, then I could have two in there, and then I'd have my whole collection. You know what I mean?
But it's just like a CD changer, except it's with iPods.
Yes. But the Shuffle is good. Like you're talking about for gym or something quick, or like my daughter has a Shuffle and she has an iPod and she has an iPad. She's a horrible person, but it's good for when you're
running
around.
How old is Dr. Dada?
She's 7.
Okay. She's 7. She has what?
She's got everything. She's got an iPad.
Are you spoiling that girl?
She's got a Touch. She's got a Shuffle. She's got Beats Bluetooth headphones. She's got Apple TV in her room, a Wii U in her room.
You will give her anything she asks for, won't you?
Anything electronics that she asks for, she knows how to give me. She's got a MacBook Air. Her computer's a MacBook Air. She is balling out of control.
No, I know how you feel. But just right before the show, Abby, my daughter, who's now 22, called and she said, "Dad, I need a new car." I said, "Yeah, I know, you know, because the car she's driving is beat up. We're going to get you a new car." She said, "Okay, so you asked me what I wanted for Christmas. What I want is a nicer new car." That makes sense, right? So you're going to buy me a car anyway. So can you get me an Audi instead, and that'll be my Christmas present?
Man, if she gets an Audi, you got it. That's your birthday, Christmas, Hanukkah. We don't even celebrate that, but the next like 4 celebrations, that's your present. As long as I got to make payments, that's a 5-year present. You don't get another present until the payments are done.
Can I have you come in and negotiate? Although, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're the worst negotiator. Look what you gave your. Okay, I'll do.
He's an Eagles fan. Your daughter's a whole different animal. We'll trade. I need money, Uncle Leo. If you can hit my bus, I need my cut.
I'll negotiate with your daughter. You negotiate with my daughter.
All right, my daughter will beat you up, though. My daughter's rough.
You know, I'm actually surprised you just didn't go all out and be like, play the tech angle and be like, "Dad, I want a Tesla."
No.
You're lucky. See, an Audi doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, Audi sounded better all the time.
You could get, and you know what you do? You do this. You'd be like, "Okay, well, I'll get you a 2013 A4. Then you knock. I could get you this deal, Leo. This is a good present.
All right, stop it. Just stop right now. Just stop it right now. Stop it. If Abby, if you're watching, don't listen to him.
I'm her lawyer. I get 67%.
Lisa, do you still carry an iPod?
No, not anymore. I mean, I basically just put everything on my phone. But I mean, it does take up a lot of space on my phone. So I guess if I did like, you know, want something just to take when I go running, like an iPod Shuffle would be cool. But that's really the only, you know, reason why I would get one.
That's the problem. Unfortunately, I don't exercise, so it's not a problem for me. But that is the issue is, you know, and I even got, they make straps for your iPhone for your wrist. You look like an idiot.
Oh, yeah. And they're not very comfortable either, because I've used them before. And especially if you have the 6 Plus, like, how would you ever strap that to your arm?
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
That's horrible. Bigger than my arm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not going to fit.
If anyone sees someone with that, let's take a picture at the gym, because that would be hysterical.
I got a new product. No, it's going to be like a spoiler on a car. You get a neck thing and you put the iPhone 6 like a spoiler, and it makes you feel faster. It goes around. I think
it's
a
push of the wind.
I'm patenting that right now.
Terrible. You know, I'm looking forward to the iWatch or the iWatch.
I do the same thing.
It should be called the iWatch. You are 100% correct.
Well, no, I used to work at an Apple store and I hated when people called it like the iTouch instead of the iPod Touch.
Or what about this? OS X. OS X.
OS X Watch. it hits all of the bad buttons. All of the bad buttons. But yeah, I mean, in theory, you're supposed to be able to carry around a small bit of music on the Apple Watch that you can listen to with Bluetooth headphones. And I'm like, that might be an acceptable Shuffle replacement, except for the fact that it's going to be $350+, which is,
not sexy. It doesn't look sexy.
I have the, you want it unsexy, I should have worn it today, the Galaxy Gear S, which looks like you've taken an iPhone and wrapped it around your wrist. It's really a big slab of glass. But it has, I don't know how much, but it has like a 512 or a gig storage on it, and you can listen. But you can't plug headphones in, because then you'd be going like this every time you ran. wire would be so it has to be Bluetooth, right?
Yeah, I feel like that would like be pretty battery intensive after a while too. Like how long, these things already don't last very long. So if you have Bluetooth going the whole time, which you already do if you're having it constantly synced with your phone.
But that's Bluetooth LE. You're not going to play music via Bluetooth LE. You're right. You're going to be turning on the full transmitter. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No.
But on the other hand, the bright spot, you'll only be running for 5 minutes at a time.
Just do high intensity workouts. That's it. That's the way to do it.
Every 7 minutes, you have to charge your watch. I can see Tim Cook saying that. Well, you have to charge it every high intensity workout. Yeah. That's it. I just feel like the idea of even storing music is a little passe. Somebody called me on the radio show and said, I want to get a portable Blu-ray player. I said, for who? Who wants that? He said, my grandkids. I said, what are they? I don't understand. Are they Amish? What would they want a portable Blu-ray player for?
You know, I used to buy...
Yes?
Sorry. Some people can't afford iPads, Leo.
Okay. But really, a portable Blu-ray player is the alternative?
That's the only thing I can make an excuse for that person for. So just that's all I got. Some people can't afford something else.
Yeah, you're right.
So go ahead. That's the only justified reason.
Go ahead, Serenity. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, I used to buy DVDs, and once upon a time I had a Blu-ray player.
Right.
I used to buy Blu-ray or like DVDs and Blu-ray DVDs in a way to be like I do with my book collection, where it's like I have a lot of books on my iPad that I use to read and via Amazon Kindle that I read. But there are a couple of books that I'm like, I love these and I'm going to reread them over and over again. And I like having a physical copy to be able to lend to people. So for a long time, DVDs and Blu-rays, that was, you know, what I did. But I haven't bought a movie in so long. Like I've digitally bought them and I've digitally rented them and I've gone and seen them in theaters, but I can't. Like the last time I bought a copy of a DVD was 2011. It's been a while,
right?
You know, but it doesn't feel, and especially because the media keeps on changing. Like you've got DVD, and then you got HD DVD, and then you have Blu-ray, and soon we're gonna have 4K. And it's like, all right, time to rebuy all the movies you know and love every 4 years. You don't do that with a book. You buy a book. And the book sits on your shelf.
Do you still
buy
books?
You never have to upgrade the book. I buy physical books for things that I really, really...
She's got 8 books. That's not... Well, that doesn't make...
There's more than... Can you count?
Okay. But honestly, she can't even fill a bookshelf. It's not like there's a ton of books.
That's my writing collection. I've got... I don't even think I can turn it around this much, but above my fireplace, I've got a huge stack of books like that. I'll send you a picture later, Leo. Yeah. But
she looks like a leader, Leo.
We even here have it. Look, I'm ancient, but we have a digital divide right here. Because, Serena, you're what, how old? 28?
26.
26. And Lisa, you're 22?
24.
Oh. All right. Well, you guys are two. But I feel like there's this generational shift. My 22-year-old daughter, I don't think she's going to be buying physical media of any kind. And I even wonder, well, she's going to download stuff. You get a Spotify account. And you never start, even Amazon is now letting you borrow books. I feel like the whole, not only have we moved away from physical media, people don't even buy stuff anymore.
Yeah, you know, I kind of prefer our new world order.
I do too.
By and large. I used to, like, when I moved across the country 4 times in the last 8 years. And every time I moved, I lamented the sheer amount of books that I had to carry, because those boxes.
Well, that's
are heavy.
The thing. Moving will definitely cure you of that habit.
Oh yeah, it's like, all right, which of these things do I not love that much?
Right.
And so, like, I have a much smaller collection of books, and they're the books that I really care about.
Every time I drive by, we have an old. They're all of the movie rental stores in Petaluma are gone, but one. And every time I drive by, I laugh because they're having a DVD sale. 3 DVDs for $5. It's old movies, right? And I figured this is people like, as you said, Owen, who can't afford any other way of doing it. They can't even afford Netflix. So that's the market. But at this point, this is the end of the line. These are commodities that are disappearing. I wouldn't even buy for three DVDs for $5. I don't want them.
But the other thing, too, is we live in a bubble of a world where people are technology bound and are hooked up to everything and everything. I was at my friend's house the other day.
Yeah, we're not normal.
He's like, oh, check out these Blu-rays. I didn't say anything because I don't want to insult him, but I'm literally thinking, you just bought 10 Blu-rays? Oh, man, it was Black Friday sale. They were on sale for $9.99. He bought 15 movies. And I'm like, you just spent $150. on Kill Bill 1 and 2? It's on Netflix, bro. And I know you got Netflix. Why did you buy it on Blu-ray? But people still do it. He's a caveman, but he's a regular person.
He's a normal
average
person.
Joe.
We shouldn't slam the normal people.
People do it. And we're the minority right now.
No,
in 10,
you're right.
20 years, you're right on point. But there are
I think
so
we're
many
canaries
people
in the coal mine, right.
Walking to Best Buy. Why do they have a billion of these things out there? They're not having them out there because they're not selling. That's somebody's true. Buying them.
Yeah. The selling, true. I mean, they're going down, and they certainly
it
don't
is
make
going
as
down.
Profit as they used to.
I know.
But
do you buy physical media, Lisa, of any kind?
Not really. I mean, I can't remember the last time I bought like a movie, like a DVD or anything like that. Sometimes I will buy books just because I still kind of like the experience of like going into a bookstore and like looking around sometimes. I'm probably like one that's probably not very common. A lot of people I know, like my friends included, just kind of like download stuff on their Kindles all the time. And that's great too. But I don't know. I still like turning pages and stuff. Maybe I'm just...
Books are, I think Serenity's right when she says that books are kind of timeless. They don't have a format. Yeah. They don't have to have a reader. And so you can have them on the shelf. But it moving them is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. I think if I...
I'm so old, I'm never going to move again. So now I'm going to start buying books. By the way, somebody told me, it was on a triangulation. Books are cheaper now than they will ever be again in history.
Really?
Think about it. I mean, they are going to become a rarity for people who can afford them, and they're going to be cherished as a valuable object. Now's the time to buy books. It's an investment in the future.
Well, they could become art pieces. I hate to say that because I love books and I love reading. But the majority of people who are not heavy physical readers, who are getting all of their reading online or via Kindle, you're going to buy a book basically either as a... It's kind of like when you walk into somebody's house and you want to judge their collection and be like, oh, you read Lord of the Rings and you read this and you read this.
I judge people by what's on their bookshelf. And if there's no... If there's no books, I'm walking out the door and saying I don't like
it. Like, what's going on? There's also the argument to be made. There's the argument, of course, that having everything digital, you're going to be in a position of, oh, well, what if the company decides to pull this book out of, say, a licensing disagreement?
You're not
like
gonna,
the Amazon Hatchet thing.
Who cares? You're not going to watch it again anyway. That guy who bought 9 DVDs, he's not going to watch those Blu-rays.
No, and that's what I was thinking about, like, Verizon. They're like, oh, well, if you buy a movie through us, even if you move and you don't have Verizon anymore, you can log in online. And I was like, I'm never going to log back in to Verizon 10 years down the road if I'm stuck with Comcast. It's just over. You know, like, I spent that money and it's
gone.
God,
I wish it were over with Verizon. You know one thing no one should do anymore? Buy physical stamps. Do you know where I'm going with this one?
I do.
This is a perfect example of why buy stamps on at the post office when you can buy a postage online, print it with your computer and your printer, right on the envelope. You don't even have to print a stamp. Just, you know, print when you're printing the address. Stamps.com will print the address, the return address, your company logo, and the postage all at the same time. Any size package, media, priority mail, express mail, stamps.com. You'll even save money that you can't even save at the post office. For instance, they've got discounts the post office won't sell you on priority mail and priority mail express shipments. One push of the button will give you package insurance. Stamps.com fills out all of the, you know, customs forms for international mailing. They will automatically email your recipient if they have a confirmation. All of this makes you look like a postal professional. And I tell you, if you're selling on eBay or if you're selling on Amazon or Etsy, if you're doing business, the better your mailings look, the more professional you look as a business. Stamps.com. You'll also save money because of the Stamps.com scale, the USB scale, that makes sure you always have exactly the right postage. You never have to put an extra stamp on so it doesn't come postage due. Or send mail to a client, postage due, that's like an insult. That's like, don't do that. Stamps.com, it'll solve the problem. You'll never have that problem again. You'll never have to go to the post office. This is the worst time of year to go to the post office. This is not
true story.
It's amateur hour, right?
Lines are out the window.
Don't want to do it. Lines? Did you say lines are out the window?
Out the window. No space. No space. Out the window.
No traffic. No parking. Stamps.com. You got to do it. Stamps.com. Now, we got a special deal for you. If you go to stamps.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner of the website, right up there, and add my name. Actually, use Twit. Why don't we use Twit? Because we're going to get some credit for Twit. TWIT. You still get a lovely picture of me and a very good offer, $110 bonus offer. That includes the digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Stamps.com. Click the microphone. Use TWIT as the offer code. And we thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. This is a fun show. Owen, you're coming back soon. You cheer me up because sometimes the news gets me down. But Owen J.J. Stone will cheer you up. Oh, Doctor is with us.
I make everything sound good. Not look good, but I make it sound good.
I'll never forget the Old Spice ad you did in the show.
That's why I said not making it look good. Why are you bringing up stuff? Focus on it. What is the story on the thing with the stuff?
Lisa Adichico is here also from businessinsider.com. Where are you located? Are you in New York?
Yep, I'm in New York.
Awesome. We got Boston, we got New York, and we got Philly. Are you in Philly, JJ?
See, I'm an international man of mystery, and no one knows where I am. My location is secret, and I'm not telling you.
It should stay that way, because you don't want those Korean hackers.
Man, I don't do a Foursquare inside my state where I live, because I'm too famous and popular. People love me. They follow me, so I don't do that. I only do it when I travel.
You know, I know where you're coming from, because I once checked into a restaurant on Foursquare, and Robert Scoble showed up. And I said, Robert, how'd you find me? He said, you checked in. Oh, God, never going to do that again. Google is eliminating CAPTCHAs. I like this idea. In fact, this is sometimes computer technology really makes you go, that's great. You've seen these horrible, horrible CAPTCHAs where you have to prove you're not a robot by typing in something that a robot probably can understand better than you, weird text. Well, you may see this on some sites soon, a checkbox that says, I'm not a robot. You don't have to type any weird text, no distorted words or numbers. Google says it can, in many cases, tell the difference between a fake person trying to create automated accounts or whatever, and a real person by watching how you move the mouse, how you click. Brilliant. Brilliant. Your IP address and cookies can also tell them that you're a human. Actually, some people might say, well, of course, Google knows you're a human. It says, oh, hi, Leo. Of course, you're not a robot. Let you write. In fact, what does it even need to click for? Sometimes, though, and I do know some people, Sarah Lane would like this, when a click doesn't produce a conclusive response, they'll pop up a window either with distorted text or with a little test like this one. They show you a cat and say, select all the images below that match this cat. And then they show a cat, a dog, a hedgehog, and some parsley. Oh, and even you could solve this one.
I was waiting for you to stop talking. This is one of the greatest advancements of our time. And the joy and pleasure in my heart knowing that this is going to become available holds no bounds to my joy. I tell you what, I am a tart when it comes to these CAPTCHAs. And many a day, I'm like, am I caps locking this? Is that a J?
I hate it.
Is a 7. I know a 7 when I see a 7, and it will not work. And Lord help me, I always think about pushing a little button so I can hear the CAPTCHA read to me.
It sounds like Satan.
Not even a word.
It's Satan. It's like letting a satanic demon into your home.
The greatest advancement of our current day. I need this more than I need to find out about what happened to Sony. They need to fix this now. This is important. Once we get this CAPTCHA fixed up, then we could worry about whether it was Koreans or ninjas or Asians or secret spy groups. But this CAPTCHA stuff, I click cats all day, dog, all day.
So, CAPTCHA, which is kind of cool, was originally the CAPTCHA that they're redoing. ReCAPTCHA was originally created with good intentions. I think it was at Carnegie Mellon, and what they did with this is one of the words was an actual CAPTCHA, like to test if you're a robot. The other one was a word that they were scanning in on automated book scans, but couldn't really understand. So you're helping them out. But let me just. I see if I could find one where I could play the. This one's not working. The audio CAPTCHA is so horrible.
Yeah, I do hope that they have better accessibility for blind users and people who are also hard of hearing or hard of seeing.
That's a good point. Um, yeah,
I mean, I assume it's built in because Google in general has been pretty good about user accessibility as Apple has been. So it's like, yeah, cats are all well and good, and cats are exciting, and I'm excited to click on cats. But if you can't see the cats, you get to hear meow, woof.
Cats are inherent in our nature. I think the people outside could feel the cat. They just feel it.
I'm looking for an audio capture here. I want to play these audio captures, and the Google Capture site is broken. I guess Google just decided. Here's one from YouTube. Somebody agrees with me. And Satan. Your mother knits socks in hell. I feel like I'm not going to let that in my house.
Could you please turn that off before I start stabbing myself or something? Whatever that's asking you to do, I feel compelled to do it.
Paul is dead. Anybody use a Chromebook here? Chromebook? Anybody?
Sometimes. I have a Chromebook. I've used them before. I don't own one, but I've used them.
Yeah. What do you think?
I kind of like them. I was a little skeptical at first. But I mean, it's if you don't do anything but go online, they're so cheap. It's hard to not be tempted to buy them, I feel like. Because, I mean, if you're just looking for a regular laptop, like, you have to pay, like, probably at least, like, $400 or $500 to get something decent. But if you don't do anything except, you know, go online, and if you, like, live in Gmail and Google Docs, it's so cheap.
Schools are, I think they're perfect for schools, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So you remember the L.A. school district put up $30 billion bond to buy iPads for every kid in the school, which, by the way, about 6 months ago, it wasn't widely reported. Everybody, you know, Apple really, oh, they're going to buy iPads for everybody in the school. Oh, and Apple, and they didn't mention the fact that they killed that when it was determined that the superintendent of schools had a friend at Apple. The whole thing was kind of a without bid. But I think now, for the first time ever, U.S. schools have actually bought more Chromebooks than iPads.
That is the best thing I've heard, actually.
Google has shipped. Now, this is IDC, and Google's not giving out the information. Certainly Apple's not. But IDC's research reports that 715,000 Chromebooks were shipped to schools in the third quarter. That's more than 702,000 iPads. Chromebooks are a quarter of the educational market. They're about half the cost of a school discounted iPad. I think that's good news.
My daughter has, they use iPads in her class, and I had to request for her to take computer class because I want her to learn how to use a keyboard and type and not have me just drumming it into her head. But they give all these kids iPads and they think, oh, they're learning computers.
No.
It's not the same as using a keyboard and a mouse. No. Like, you need to take computer class.
Because, they're learning Apple.
Yeah, they're learning to touch things. They're learning the lazy way out. And the Chromebooks at least give you some kind of physical tactile function of typing something and using a standard keyboard and mouse.
And so even like beyond, like, you know, younger kids learning how to type and things like that. I mean, if you're in college and you're on the internet all the time and you need to do writing or you need something like to toss in your bag to bring around campus and you don't want to worry about it getting stolen, you're keeping it in your dorm room, like, you can get a Chromebook that's like $200 that'll do the same thing. It's super fast. They boot up like insanely fast most of the time. So, like, you know,
I never even shut mine down. I just close it, right? And it's just open it up.
Yeah, they're designed in such a way that I think they actually make a good choice for schools, especially as you were mentioning before, the fact that they're not instant theft targets. Oh, I will say that IDC number was a little misleading the way that it was initially reported, and they weren't taking into account various things of Apple's education market versus Google's.
Okay.
But even that aside, like, I love the iPad, and I think that the iPad is wonderful, and I'm so glad that kids are getting training on it. But at the same time, when it comes to your average school, again, we're talking about, you know, the tech bubble versus the United States as a whole. I think it makes more sense to be
trying to get more computers into the hands of kids than necessarily the best computer for a vastly limited market. It's like I had Apple like Mac Pluses in my classroom growing up, but only because my dad worked at Caltech and was able to like funnel a grant in there. Otherwise, you know, of course, there were lots of Dells and lots of Windows DOS computers. Ugh. And you learned basic commands on that way.
Yeah.
No, I mean it wasn't the most fun thing in the world. But if you think about it, like a $200 or $100 laptop, if you can get that into the hands of almost every elementary school child, that means that they're all getting access to the internet. They're all getting access to basically a wider world, to multiple viewpoints in terms of their history lessons, in terms of biology, chemistry, etc. So at like. As much as I love the iPad and as much as I think that it's an amazing tool for education, when we're talking about the vast majority of children, I think it's better to get as many people as possible online and connected rather than, oh, they have to have the best experience or no experience at all.
I think children should be supplied with quill pens and cursive books, and they should learn handwriting.
I really like handwriting. I was really sad when they killed it from my...
Went on Amazon. I haven't done this yet. It's a project. One of those things I get excited about and then I'll probably never do. But I went on Amazon. They sell the Spencerian, which is even older than the cursive that I learned in school, cursive books. And there's a manual and then you get all these workbooks and a fountain pen. And I just wish I had good handwriting.
I was going to ask you, when's the last time you wrote a letter, Uncle Leo?
I must be drunk. I went out and I bought like 300 letterpress cards with my name on them and little envelopes so I could handwrite notes.
Have you written any notes?
Not one.
Okay. You're specifically not answering my question.
Not one. But I feel like I should. I feel like it says from the desk of the chief twit.
You need to write two.
I'll write you a note. I'm going to send you a card.
No, when I get my little itty bits, if there's not a card in there, tell me
how much
you love and adore me as a person.
How much I love you. And I'm sorry I let somebody write in your body.
Yes.
I will say signatures. That's the one thing that makes me really sad is like some of my friends have kids who are growing up not really learning how to sign their name. And so when they do like signatures or when they're trying to write really quickly things, it looks like the worst Dr. Chicken Scratch you'll ever see.
Yeah.
That makes I am a big proponent of writing on the computer
as early
as I was allowed. But
wait, when you go, and you're probably using Apple K because you're so hip and with it. But when you go to the store and you use a credit card and they say, sign this, you get this really crap stylus and the plastic is all messed up on the thing you're supposed to sign. Do you try to sign your name?
I will usually do initials. So luckily Serenity is pretty easy to sign because it's just like a big S, a scribble, then a T, then a Y.
I take the pen in my fist like this and I go, and I draw an X. And you know what?
Dave Man style.
It doesn't matter. They'll take anything you put. There's nobody, this doesn't match your license. They don't care.
You could sign Bugs
Bunny and they would go, yeah, thank you, Mr. Bunny.
Don't leave your wallet out next time I visit because I will be buying some stuff and put an X right on that thing.
You try that. Now they might go Forerunner and surround you.
Man, I am a very well-spoken person, and when I talk to them in the polite ways that I am Leo Laporte, which isn't even your real name, by the way.
Wait a minute. What do you think my real name is? You think I made up Leo Laporte? It's not too good?
It's not Leo Laporte. It's not Leo Laporte.
What do you think it is? Like Joe Schlebolewski?
Yeah.
Something ethnic?
It's a horrible name is what it is.
And
Leo
this Laporte coming from a guy named O-Doctor?
O-Doctor. I know my name's fake.
No one has ever said they thought my name was fake. For many years as a DJ, I used a fake name. I was Dave Allen. When I first started in radio, and then I was Dan Hayes. God, I forgot my name.
That's an inside joke. Remember I made you show me your license because you told me all those aliases that you
used? And you didn't believe Leo Laporte.
No, I didn't believe. At the end of the list of 12 names, I did not believe Leo Laporte was real because Leo Laporte sounds good.
I am a man who has worked with such people as Johnny Walker, Jack Friday. That can't be his real name. Friday?
We got 45 minutes. Don't we have a commercial or another story?
Yeah, let's. I'm sorry. You're absolutely. You're turning into John C. Dvorak. You better watch out there, Owen. You better watch out. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix GoToMeeting. You got to love GoToMeeting, the number one way to meet online. And meeting online, frankly, is the number one way to meet as far as I'm concerned. Meetings will kill productivity, and yet you got to have them. It's the best way to cut through, you know, the email hell that we all go through. We have a rule here. 3 emails back and forth, going to get a meeting. Because we can then just say, come on, what is it? And get back and forth and get the job done. You could brainstorm. You can troubleshoot. You could, if you're pitching, it's the best way to close a deal. You can't sell in email. You got to meet. But with clients and customers all over the world, GoToMeeting solves that problem. It lets you meet with anybody, anywhere, and with their built-in HD video conferencing, you're seeing them, they're seeing you, the body language, the personality comes through. It is the next best thing to meeting in person. Actually, it's better because you don't have to pay for travel, you have to take time. I think a lot of clients appreciate it when you don't waste their time saying, oh, I got to meet with you, and let me take you to lunch. Yes, we're going to get it done here with a GoToMeeting. You share screens so you can review documents, collaborate, present. It is fabulous. You get that personal touch without wasting time. It is GoToMeeting. Try it today free for 30 days. There's no reason to guess. Just do it and see. GoToMeeting.com. 30 days free. Just click that try it free button. There's no promo code. Just do it. I'll make it easy on you. Oh, I love this. Okay, what is unique about Oppo Gangnam Style size video on YouTube? There's something amazing and unique about it. It has received now more than 2 trillion. What is it? No, 2 billion views. 2 billion views. And that's bigger than a 32-bit integer. Google never thought any number. Oh, you don't have to play it. Actually, it's still pretty good, isn't it? You can see why it's got 2 billion views.
It's not that good. There's a farm somewhere in Asia where people click in this video. No one, nothing.
You don't think 2 billion views?
No.
That's a third of all humans.
Yes, it's not real. There's a farm and a warehouse. They are getting a check from YouTube.
No, I know that's not true because I myself have clicked it hundreds of times.
You have a job where you sit online all day. Human regular people do not do this. This is not a good song.
Instead of buying Blu-rays, I watch Psy.
Yeah, you're a part of the click farm. We need to one-click you to make sure that you're human for watching this video hundreds of thousands of times.
But I love it because this is supposed to be a 32-bit number. Google never thought that the counter in YouTube would ever exceed 2 billion. It did. So watch. Hover your mouth. Negative. What? No. It's the computer has gone crazy. It cannot. You think there'll ever be a video with more than 2 billion views again?
Never know. If anybody's going to do it, Taylor Swift might.
Taylor Swift. Is there a way to know? Is there somewhere I can go to find out what the second most viewed video is on YouTube?
Man, it's got to be way off that number. That number is so insane.
You think it's fake? You don't think that's real, 2 billion?
I don't know. I just don't like the song personally, and every time it comes on the radio, because I have a kid and I live with my kids, and they sing it and I want to choke them.
Oh, they're not putting that on the radio anymore, are they?
Dude, it's on Kids Bop Radio. It's on my SiriusXM. Like, I hear it, dude. Like, it's playing.
It's filtered down.
It's filtered down.
Yeah, they send it out to the kids now, and they're corrupting their brains with it. Like, it's horrible. Anyway, somebody's watching it, right? So
Beyoncé's got 47 million views on 7-Eleven.
That's a new song, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 2 weeks. Here's one. DJ Khalid has 29 million, but that took 3 months.
I need someone 100 million. You know what I mean? Like,
there's plenty of those. Chat room's going to help me.
Billion.
Chat room's going to say. Anyway, 2 billion views. How many people are there on the planet? There's 6 billion, right?
7 billion. 7 billion. 1.5 or 1.8 billion of those people are under the age of 16.
How the hell do you know that?
Because I am actually really smart and I just pretend to not know things. So to
the camera. Off the top of your head.
Yeah.
You are an awesome human being, Doctor.
Sometimes. I have a really good memory.
The number 2 YouTube video Justin Bieber's baby, wait a minute, has received more than 1 billion views.
Now that song deserves it. Love the Biebs.
What?
Love the Biebs.
The number three video on YouTube, and it is the only, the first, the highest non-music video. Charlie bit my finger. I'll watch that again and again. But I have not clicked it as many times as Oppo Gangnam Style.
Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball. Like, that's a newer video to be, like, number nine.
Yeah, it's getting up there.
Did you see?
Two Katy Perry songs?
That's a surprise. Oh, yeah, Roar, 10. That's her highest. Did you see my laptop, Wrecking Ball?
Oh.
Can you show my, but then there's this octopus. In there, I don't.
Man,
that's not supposed to.
I don't know about all that. That's not, like, come on, Uncle Leo. This is a family show. Drop that laptop down. I don't know. One of the eight tentacles is a little busy.
I'm a pervert.
Yeah,
I think you've just proven that.
You don't put up 13 images to signify. What's the next thing we're doing? You were crazy today.
Move on.
I can't trust you.
Move on. I typed Justin YouTube baby, and I get babies laughing. And not Justin Bieber's baby. I think that proves that there is hope yet for the world. Let's just watch this for a few seconds. You can't, when babies laugh, you can't help laugh along with them. What do you think's going through that kid? The kid's head.
Oh my god.
Look, he's destroying this object. Look at the construction. This is amazing.
Now, see, to me, this is what YouTube was made for. Not Miley Cyrus naked on a wrecking ball. This.
Babies and kittens.
Babies and kittens. What more do you need in life?
Later on, I'll send you a video, Leo, of me laughing at my daughter for like 2 minutes straight for no reason.
Laughter is great. By the way, how are the Eagles doing? Did the Eagles win?
They're not winning. They're in the fourth quarter and they're down by 10 or so.
Watch some babies laughing. You'll feel better. I'm sorry, I apologize.
I don't even know.
There's no reason for this to be happening at all, except that you cannot take your eyes off of it. Only 14 million views. I'm feeling bad for these babies.
They obviously don't feel very bad.
All right, that's enough. Enough. No more babies. Hit the pause button.
You can come back to the babies after the show.
Right. Don't share your personal interests on the show. You're absolutely right. Intel has made a deal with Google to make the chip in the next Google Glass. Does this save Google Glass? Anybody?
What's Google Glass?
Go ahead.
It seems like a different sort of direction for Google Glass. I mean, I think it was the Wall Street Journal story that was kind of saying that they're going in sort of this, like, enterprise kind of market direction rather than consumers, which is what they were originally trying to do. So
wait a minute. When they say enterprise, it's like enterprise with quotes, like mall cops?
Oh, no, like hospital.
Oh, hospitals.
Like,
all right.
Like commercial uses, I guess.
Yeah. That's what happened to the Segway, right? Became a thing for mall cops to ride around on.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of sort of maybe giving up on the idea that people are just going to think that these things are super cool to wear and, right, you know, record videos of themselves skydiving with them and things like
that. Did you ever, Lisa, get a Google Glass, pair of Google Glass? No.
Yeah, I tried. I think it was like the second model that had come out.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. I like wore it around for a day or two, like out in public to see if anyone would like look at me weirdly or say anything to me. A couple of people would like say something when I walked by, but I didn't really get like weird looks or
anything.
Nobody
tore it off your head and slammed it to the ground.
No, I'm not in San Francisco, so that did not happen. But
actually, there could be a business for, didn't President Obama just budget a huge amount of money for police cameras, like 50,000 police cameras? Give them Google Glass instead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There were like, I saw some reports of like cops trying out Google Glass.
Because then it's
like
showing
that.
What they're looking at as opposed to whatever their chest is looking at.
Right. But you're also talking about probably a plus $800 financial cost.
Good point.
Google Glass is a great proof of concept. There's a lot of really cool technology packages in there in a really awkward looking package in something that's probably going to go down in price in the next 5 years. So right now we have $1,600 proof of concepts that look really creepy and feel kind of creepy. And you feel a little bit like a jerk for wearing one around in public.
They do say Google Intel Glass chip will help sunglasses. The battery life. They have sunglasses.
I'm saying when they look like regular glasses that somebody could just put on and they don't look like they look, then they'll be accepted. Like you said, proof of concept. Five years from now, call me about them, but no.
Give me some Google contact
lenses.
That'll
happen in like 5 years-ish or so. I mean, I've been like talking to some other companies that do similar things, and they're all trying to sort of get to the point where they look like sunglasses, basically.
One more Google story. This one's kind of makes me happy, but probably not so happy for the people who bought the ads. Google admits advertisers wasted their money on more than half of the ads they bought. That it turns out that 46% of online ads were never seen even once. Actually, Google said 56% of ads served on the internet are never even in view. That is, an in view is being on the screen for more than a second. Forget seen, they weren't even on the screen for more than a second. But they got
but
paid
if they
for.
Load, yeah, if they load, they're considered
they
a view.
They get paid for. A large portion of ads, speaking of captures, are viewed only by robots. Which to date have not really spent a lot of money on the economy. A botnet of 120,000 virus-infected computers viewed ads billions of times, running up tabs for advertisers. But not any sales, of course. I think you're right. I think Psy is using those robots to boost his YouTube numbers. Because he makes money on every view, right?
I want to know what the check that YouTube had to cut him for that amount of views. Yeah. Like, come on. I know people making a regular living. They're making $50,000, $60,000, $200,000 a year off of YouTube videos with 50,000, 100,000 views. What the heck is that check look like? Going on from there. And it's worth a click farm. It's worth hiring out.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, somebody in a small little country and paying them freaking 30 cents a day to click a button.
Yeah.
So.
Xbox One or PlayStation 4? What are we doing in the holidays?
PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4.
The only reason people bought Xbox One is because Xbox was trying to give them away. Oh, it's $3.99.
It's $3.49.
If you get it for the next 2 days, if you get it for the next 2 days, right now it's $3.29. Please just take one. It's $80. Anybody, take one.
Come on.
I'm just so tired of switching platforms every 4 years.
What do you play with?
I have an Xbox, the previous generation Xbox. And granted, I'm not a 360. I'm not a huge television gamer. I like to do most of my games either on my Mac or on iOS. Like
you're normal.
You know, I love Portal. I love the Half-Life series, but like I pick up some, you know, important AAA titles and that's about it. So, but it's really frustrating because I'm like, something comes out and then it's like exclusive to the PlayStation 4 or exclusive to the Xbox One. And I'm just like, I'm just going to wait until hopefully it shows up on the Mac or everything comes down in price so I don't have to spend $400 on a PlayStation. That said, the PlayStation 4 looks fantastic and I think it's a really cool thing. But, rebuying all my game stations.
Well, that's the thing. No backwards compatibility. Right. That is the one thing that breaks my heart. Right. The fact that I can't just play with my games and I have to keep this PS3 around because I've got 40 or 50 games that occasionally when I am bored, I'll go back and play Drake's Uncharted 4 comes out. I'm going to play 1, 2, and 3 before 4 comes out because it's like a story. But I got to keep this old system to be able to do that. And it's ridiculous.
Lisa, what are you game on?
I have an Xbox 360 also.
You guys are all old school.
Well, I was going to say one of my roommates has a PlayStation 4. I haven't played it that much yet. I think because a lot of like the exclusive games for it still haven't really come out, like the big titles. But I actually use my Nintendo DS the most, probably.
Nintendo DS.
Yeah, well, 3DS, but
3DS.
That's right.
Rock on. What game you play on the 3DS?
Zelda, Kingdom Hearts, Pokemon.
You still live in your childhood, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's great like during the commute because it's not like this is like the main reason I don't really play console games as much as I used to is because I feel like it takes, like, you have to set aside a decent amount of time for it. Like, you have to be like, okay, I'm going to sit down in front of the TV for a while, like, carve out this, like, block of time, because you kind of get sucked into
but
it.
Haven't you won Zelda like 58 times? I mean,
but it's like, if you have a, like, something like a Vita or a DS, you can just, like, play it during your commute or something, or like before you go to bed, and it doesn't, like, take as much time. It's not as, like, intrusive, I guess.
That's why I play solitaire. You can play one hand and then go to bed at 8:30 p.m.
That is why PlayStation's a little bit better. They now have, which I have, a little PlayStation box.
Yeah.
So I have a little box in my room. I can play with my console in my bedroom at night and suck all my time.
You know what? You get a Sony Z3. You get one of those Sony Z3 phones. You can do that too.
Yep. So Xbox needs to step their game up.
I like Xbox One. It's the best platform. You're all wrong.
I'm glad that you like them. It makes me feel good about
yourself. If
you
have ever played Sunset Overdrive on an Xbox One, I invite you all over to my place. We'll have pigs in a blanket and play Sunset Overdrive till late, like 9 or 10. It's actually
sounds
a really
like
great
a plan.
Game. Yeah, no, you would like this. I know Serenity, especially since you play roller derby, you would love Sunset Overdrive, but it's Xbox One only. But you're skitching and you're riding on the rails and you're shooting weird guns. They have a gun that shoots old vinyl records. Huh. And it bothers the bad guys. It's like, ow! What are you... Ow! Stop it! So great.
That sounds like a blast. You know, I am really sad that I don't have a DS because I've heard the new Super Smash Brothers is supposedly like
I'm
super,
tempted to
super
get
awesome.
It just for that, yeah.
I know. It looks so like... So much fun.
I think this is what we should all get. Sony has released a 20th anniversary PlayStation 4. It's gray. It's the color of...
Aw.
Well, they only made 12,300. And, you can't get them anymore unless you go to eBay and it's going for 15 grand.
God. I'll spray paint
mine. This is how they're paying for all of their lawsuits.
Wow.
Right, they made it, then they didn't sell them. They just put them on directly to eBay.
It is an instant collector's edition. You know, really, though, can you imagine? Why would you spend that much money for the gray one? Well, now, here's some cheaper ones. Here's $2,000. So, that's better.
I just buy the white one and make it dirty. I just rub it on my carpet.
Yeah, just rub it on your carpet.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the people who are going to spend, God knows, upwards of $5,000 on an Apple Watch edition, or spend $10,000 on purses or specifically colored shoes. Some people have a lot of money that they spend in very strange ways.
Strange things. Oh, this one's gray. It's better.
It's faster. It's more sleek.
Yeah. No, I have to say, one of the ways Microsoft got the Xbox One price down, they took the Kinect off. I like that. The Kinect, I sit down, it goes, hi, Leo. I like that. I could say Xbox pause, and I'm sorry if you're watching this on Xbox. I just stopped your stream. We'll wait for a moment while I restart.
My PlayStation does the same stuff now, so don't think you're special.
I'm special.
I got an update, dog. It's all the same, bro. It's all the same.
Okay. Hey, the one thing I do not want to do is get into game coverage in any way or get involved in game journalism in any way, because gamers are vicious. I have learned this. You do not, you know, if you cross a gamer, you're dead.
I feel very, very, a friend of mine and a colleague, Brianna, you know.
Oh, you know Brianna, yeah.
Yeah, well, she lives a couple towns over, and like, I met her through a...
She had to leave her house.
Oh my God, it's insane. And you know, I mean, she's a very outspoken person, but I think a lot of the stuff that she's saying and a lot of stuff that she's advocating for is completely legitimate. So.
But I'm not even just talking about Gamergate, which obviously is out of control and I think is kind of starting to blow over a little bit. But just in any way, if you piss off a gamer, they will savage you. It's like this is games. Fun. You know, not serious. No, it's serious. Very, very serious.
There is some to a stereotype of people who sit in a room by themselves for hours and play games by themselves and do not have a social life or other people around them. There is something to that.
@ O Docta. @ O Docta. Don't tweet me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say anything. I should keep my mouth shut. Oh, all gamers are the best guys in the world. I love to party with them. They're great people. Awesome. Let's rock.
Somebody in the chat room, Creamy Corn Cob in the chat room, which is I think maybe the most disgusting chat handle I've ever heard. Creamy Corn Cob in the chat handle, chat room, points out, a good point, that in the past anyway, PlayStation 4, PlayStation and Xbox have had roughly a 10-year cycle, right? Can you imagine 2023 that we're going to get another console from these companies? No. Is this the end of the line for consoles? It must be. You'll never buy another one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it really depends on if people keep on hyping up their 4K televisions and they really make, you try and make gaming the next great experience on a certain monitor and it's not tied necessarily to a Mac or PC. But at the same, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, it is a PC. It is a PC crammed into hardware with specific discs.
But there's an advantage to it. There's an advantage to it. Because you don't have all of the problems with set. You know, remember, PC, I love PC gaming. Don't get me wrong. But you got to get the drivers right. You got to have a good video. Blah, blah. There's so much to think about. You just, and by the way, who uses discs anymore on any of these consoles? You just download the game. You just play it. It's very simple.
Downloading is the best thing that's happened to gaming in years. I play so many more games now because I can download them as opposed to being like, oh God, $60. I don't know. Is this just me? I feel like $60 when I'm handing over cash, when I'm handing over a credit card is a big deal. I'm going to the store. I'm paying it. I'm walking out with the physical good. $60 online. It's like, bye.
Right.
Done.
I'm with
playing.
You. I'm with you. And it's even worse for the Xbox. And I'm sure this is true of PS4. But I can, on my phone at work, go into the Smart Glass app and say, oh, there's a new game, and buy it. It'll be downloaded when I get home.
I feel the exact opposite. When I go to the store, at least I got some in my hands for $60. When I'm sitting home on my butt and there's no physical disc, I didn't have to drive anywhere, they don't have to warehouse anything, why is it my game $45? You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to send it to a store. They didn't have to warehouse it. They have no overhead.
It cost,
you gotta give me a discount.
It cost $100 million or more to make that game. Hundreds of people worked on that game for 4 years, Owen.
And then 3 months after it comes out, it's on a rack for $39.99.
I know, and believe me, I've bought my share of crap games.
So, if I'm buying a download, I still do it. I buy it. It's great. Like, I didn't have to do it with the midnight release. They sent it to me at midnight.
But you think that any portion of the $60 goes to that disc? It's a... How much? I mean, come on. You're paying for the cost of making the game, not bidding.
All I'm saying is there's overhead when it goes to a storefront. It had to be shipped there. They have to make room for it on their shelves.
So they'll take a buck off because you bought it online.
I want $15 off.
I mean, you're entirely right. You're entirely right in that there is a lot of money in the manufacturing process. Like, it's not a lot per disc, but overall, they do have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. The real problem is that they're still trying to meet multiple markets. If it was a game that was only marketed online, you can cut you can shave off a huge portion of the cost. But because they have to pay for the manufacturing anyway, because they are going to make a digital and a physical version, they're keeping the price exactly the same because they're like, oh, well, if we discount it, then
I know
we've
why they do it. I just don't want them to.
I agree.
I don't want them to. I know why. I just don't like it.
I'm going to get some snacks out. We need some snacks.
I'm okay with snacks.
Spider Solitaire. I'm telling you, it's free. You can play one hand or 100. Very entertaining. Nature Box time. Would you like Big Island pineapple rings? These are good, by the way. Best dried fruit you've ever had in your life from naturebox.com. Dried. Oh, I got to open these. I'm sorry.
Who doesn't like pineapple?
Who doesn't like? If you don't like pineapple, you don't like life, my friend. Dried cherries. But not just dried fruit. Whole wheat, blueberry, figgy bar. So here's the deal with Nature Box. These are nutritionist designs. He even says they're right there. There are no high fructose corn syrups. There's no trans fats. There is no artificial color or flavor. These are wholesome, delicious snacks designed to replace your need to go to the snack machine at work or, you know, go dig around in the refrigerator at home. You got great snacks. Lone Star Snack Mix, barbecue-flavored nut mix with multi-seed chips. That sounds like a Serenity Caldwell treat. I got something for Lisa. Blueberry Nom Noms, mini blueberry-flavored oat cookies. Don't interpret that in any way. That's what it looked like, something you would like. I wish I could.
I do like blueberries, so you
would love these, and they're good for you. Owen, you want the pineapple, the dried cherries? What do you want here?
I want the pineapple and the dried cherries. Throw them in the box with my little bits.
We're getting a bigger and bigger box now.
It's Christmas time, Uncle
Leo. It's
Christmas
time, Owen. You get anything you darn well want. Go to naturebox.com. We got a free trial for you. Naturebox.com/twit. You're going to get five snacks. You could choose them. They have savory, sweet, and spicy. Yes, they have gluten-free. They have vegan. They have snacks for any dietary, you know, not almost any dietary. Okay, not every dietary need, but most dietary needs. Sea salt, sun crunch, cranberry medley, jalapeno, cashews. This stuff is great. And here's something nice for the holidays. For every Nature Box you order, the company will donate a meal to help feed millions of Americans who go hungry. In fact, they're trying to raise enough to donate at least a million meals by the end of the year. You can help. Delicious, wholesome snacks for you and a meal for a person or family in need. Try that free NatureBox trial at naturebox.com/twit. You just pay $2 for shipping. I like to end the show with a little NatureBox noshing. And you will,
I think,
too.
I'm going to have to finally sign up for NatureBox. Like, I was resisting. And then between Mac break and now,
do
I'm
not
like, all right.
Resist. Don't
resist. Well,
don't. There was so a good. Guy, the guy, Candlestick Park, which was the coldest ballpark in America, where the Giants used to play. And he would be selling ice cold malteds. You're fuddling in the freezing cold. And he's going down the aisle trying to sell malted milks. But he always said, don't deny yourself the pleasure. Don't deny yourself the pleasure, Serenity Caldwell. Naturebox.com/twit. That's all I have to say. You know what? We'll send you some too, Serenity.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we do that. And I'm going to put a handwritten Spencerian cursive note in there on a beautiful letter. You know how much those letterpress cards cost?
They're expensive.
It's like $5 a card.
Serenity, if there's not a card in there, you call him out. Don't let him get away with it. He needs the letter.
Next time I'm on Mac break, I'll wag my finger.
Oh, Popeye. Uber, you got to love Uber. Uber has not tamed itself one little itty bit. They were told that by the city of Portland, it is illegal. You may not launch in Portland. And Uber said, screw you. What are you going to do? And they have launched in Portland.
They were towing people's cars in Philly last month.
Yeah. In fact, Portland says, we'll arrest a driver if we catch you. And you may be heavy fines. The company is rolling out UberX. That's the service that lets you get a ride from drivers who use their own cars. The city code, you got to wonder about a law that prohibits unpermitted ride sharing. You got to get a permit to share? Come on. Really?
Well, from one perspective, I understand it, because from an insurance and from a safety perspective, especially given all that we've heard about, you know, Uber drivers and like in Boston, I feel safe taking an Uber. In other cities, I feel far less safe because, like, especially, you know, in New York.
Why do you feel safer in Boston?
Well, in Boston in general, I've had a much higher percentages. And I'm also, when I'm taking Ubers, I'm usually taking Ubers with multiple people.
You wouldn't take an Uber alone?
I don't feel comfortable.
Would you
doing
take
it
a cab alone?
I used to. No. I generally don't feel comfortable as a woman alone in the city at night taking an Uber or
but how do you
or
get
any
home?
Cab for that matter.
Do you walk home?
I drive, I walk, and I take my bike. Like, I don't have that much money to waste on cabs.
Bike's the safest because you can get away from anybody.
Boston drivers, but.
Well, except at Boston drivers. But walking seems like the most dangerous, frankly.
Yeah, well, I mean, walking is a little scary in Boston, especially because once you get out of the city proper, the lights are a little scary. But, like, it's frustrating because I would love, when Uber first started, I relied on it constantly because I was living in San Francisco and like, it was a really good way. And at the time, they had super discounts, so it wasn't even super expensive for me to be like, oh, well, I'm working late at the office. I'm just going to take an Uber rather than ride on the bus for 2 hours and be slightly nervous about getting home.
Lisa, do you use an Uber in Manhattan?
Yeah, sometimes, but I'm not usually traveling alone, though. Usually if I take an Uber, it's also like a money thing, too. Like if I'm going out and a bunch of us are going, you know, it's like the same neighborhood or something, we'll take an Uber together.
It's
if
so
I'm alone,
convenient.
Though,
it's so convenient.
Yeah, it
right?
really is. It's super convenient. But I mean, I still take subways a lot. I Uber once in a while, but not like constantly like some people might be doing.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't use Uber, so I don't have to worry about it. I've used it, and it is really an amazing experience, or it has been, but I'm not a woman alone in Boston or New York.
I'm not happy with Uber's practices, but I've used Uber, and I love Uber just for the fact that in the summertime, like in New York City, going in the subway, like you show up to an appointment or a meeting and you're sweating to death.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
So, right. Like from like June until September, I will take Uber and I will spend that money because it's hard for a brother to get a cab sometimes in the city.
You know? It seems like this is a real opportunity for either Lyft or somebody else to come along and say, we're going to be the kinder, gentler Uber. We'll be the Airbnb of Ubers or something like that, right?
Yeah. Going back to Portland for a second, it really worries me, this kind of back and forth that they have between the city and, you know, it being technically illegal and Uber kind of forcing their way into there and basically being like, okay, UberX drivers, you guys look like normal cars and you're not going to put the little Uber sign in your front window.
There's no pink mustache.
Well, exactly. We don't want the city to know that you're a driver. Right. And I feel like for people, like when I do get an Uber, I very carefully, like I double check the license plate that it says with the person that I'm getting in the car. And I feel like not everybody does that. And I really worry about like if Uber trying to sneak under the radar here might actually increase the, you know,
risk.
The risk. There we go. I was like the unsafety, and that is not a word. But you know what I mean? No, the risk, the calculated risk of, you know, saying, oh, yes, I'm an Uber extra. You just see somebody standing on the curb with their phone out. I mean, all you do is open the door.
Yeah,
I'm
an Uber.
Come on. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an Uber.
There are safeguards, but
be cool because I don't want to get arrested. But I'm
because people really don't look. They probably wouldn't look to know what kind of car it is. I've never checked.
I got
the
nature
driver.
Bucks.
I know they have ratings, but I never looked.
I'm an Uber. Come on,
you know
get in.
Yeah, I got
snacks. Come on.
Also, if like the drivers do get caught, like who gets fined? Is Uber the company getting fined, or is that one driver responsible for covering
The driver is like, well, maybe Uber will kick in some money. But both driver and Uber get fined, and the driver up to $1,500. The Uber up to $1,500, the driver up to $2,250. $2,250.
Wow.
Now, it remains to be seen if Portland will enforce this. I think they mean to.
I'm all for cracking down on the taxi lobby because I do think that the taxi system is outdated and ridiculous.
Well, the law in Portland requires, for instance, if you're not going to use a taxi, then you have to advance reserve 60 minutes ahead of time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's clearly the law was written by taxi companies to protect themselves. So,
seems like everyone in that industry is a gangster, a bully, or a thug. Like, literally, like, we want to start Uber? Like, we have to be gangsters. Because apparently, to go up against gangsters, we have to be gangsters.
I think that's exactly what happened.
It seems so hardcore. It's insane.
I think that actually it was that Uber had to I'm not condoning it. It's a horrible corporate culture. But they have that corporate culture because they got into a business that was – it's like if you're going to be in the garbage collection or olive oil industry, you got to be tough.
Apparently.
I don't know why I mentioned olive oil. That is not a tough business. It's very mild-mannered. That's from The Godfather. He was in olive oil, right? In The Godfather. All right, let's take a break. If you missed anything this week on Twit, you missed a mouthful. Here's a look.
Previously on Twit. Tech news today.
Revelations continue in last week's hack of Sony Pictures.
This week, the hackers have been releasing troves of data. I've gotten dozens of emails from employees at Sony Pictures just saying management won't tell us anything. They're freaking out, as they should be.
i5 for the iPhone.
So I'm excited about a new app called FingerKey that allows iPhone users to unlock our computers using Apple's Touch ID fingerprint sensor via Bluetooth.
Know-how.
What have I just witnessed?
I know. That is garbage matting. Surround me to cut out all that area. And so you just keep adding these layers. And then when I add in the clean plate,
it looks like they're all there.
Triangulation.
Are we moving towards a manned landing of Mars, Robin?
I do think that we have been making major inroads. It is going to happen.
This Week in Google.
Just today, Google released a new Android app called Device Assist.
Thank you for contacting Google. My name is Tom. Am I speaking with Jason?
Wow, yes, you are. How's it going, Tom?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I have to be completely honest. Yeah, I'm doing a show called This Week in Google where we talk all about Google things, and you're on the air right now, so you're famous.
Well,
hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Jason, I really appreciate that, man.
Twit. Tell your boss it's job-related.
That was last week. What a great week. Next week, well, Mike Elgin can tell us.
Coming up this week, Le Web kicks off in Paris, France on Tuesday, December 9th. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is planning another public Q&A for Thursday, December 11th. Zuck's going to answer questions submitted by the public in a kind of Reddit AMA format. Anyone wanting to attend can email Facebook for a free ticket to the event in Menlo Park, California. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you. Mike Elgin, every Monday through Friday. The Tech News, great way to keep up on your tech news with Tech News Today, 10 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Is that right? No, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on live.twit.tv. A couple of quick stories. No surprise, AT&T still throttles unlimited data. Turns out even when the network's not congested, just because they feel like it.
It's horrible.
Sprint.
Sounds like AT&T.
Yeah. Are you surprised? No. Sprint has that cut your bill in half promotion. Even Sprint says, well, no, it's more like 20%.
Math is special.
Math is hard.
It's Sprint.
It's Sprint because you have to get rid of your old phone, give it to Sprint, buy a new phone from Sprint. This doesn't save you any money. BB, the women's clothes retailer, confirms it has had a data breach with credit card numbers leaked out, joining Target and everybody else in the world. Get ready, because this is going to be a holiday season full of this stuff. You remember the Target breach occurred between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It was during the top shopping season. These bad guys know exactly how to get this malware on there. They know these holes exist and nobody's patched them. You know, it's just, we're going to see a ton of this, don't you think? Did you cheer? Was it...
No, I said Apple Pay.
Apple Pay, yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, I think this is a huge advertisement for shopping online.
Yeah.
And almost all of the major credit card companies, like I know Citi does this and I know Chase does this, they allow you to create virtual account number or virtual card numbers.
Yeah, one-time use numbers, yeah.
Yeah, one-time use. And I do that for all my online shopping, especially during the holidays, just to be safe. Because if they do have a breach for whatever reason, then great. They've got a number that can never be used again, and you don't have to change your card, et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, like, I would so much rather this is the first Black Friday I think I did not go out at all. My sister and my mother usually like to do like a post-Thanksgiving fun thing. But this year I was here, so I was just like, yep, I'm not going to do Black Friday. Instead, I got like a 40% off coupon from like Lucky Brand Jeans. And so I did all the things that I normally do. I shopped online, and it's getting delivered to my door tomorrow. And I'm like, this is so much easier than fighting my way through mall crowds and eating like Auntie Anne's pretzels.
You get a jean jacket. You get jean shorts. You get a pair of jeans.
There's going to be a certain uniformity to your gifts this year. But get some of that, blue denim wrapping paper, and it'll be great.
I like the old school stuff, Uncle.
Where did you get that? That's the new hundo.
That's a nice looking bill.
That's why you're out there just throwing these.
How many hundos do you? Jeez,
don't worry
Louise about
Uncle Leo. That's why it's a secret lair with pit bulls, a moat, an alligator. Don't nobody come over here trying to get my money.
Louise.
I got all kinds of.
That's a nice looking bill, though. Isn't that pretty?
Isn't that pretty? The sad thing is I went to China in 2002. Their money was crazy fun looking like this 15 years ago. We finally got some nice money.
Well, I think this is the last Christmas or holiday buying season where you're going to have all of these, and you're going to have a ton of them, security breaches. And then it's going to get, people are going to freak. Already, a judge has ruled that the banks can sue Target. You know, remember, it was the banks who really took the brunt of the hit for the Target. They had a hack. They had to release new credit cards to a lot of people.
They tell you, sign up and we'll give you the free card. You get 5% off every purchase.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people that were just signed up just for that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You get 5% off every purchase.
70 million customers had their cards revealed.
Woo!
So, expect a little trouble if you can use Apple Pay. Lisa, are you using a Tap and Pay or some sort of more secure system?
Not yet. I actually just got a new iPhone, so I haven't had the chance to play with
set
Apple
it up.
Pay yet. But
I definitely plan to set it up and try it out soon.
I've just been using my credit card.
You don't have to care because you're not liable. You don't ever have to worry. It never hits the consumer.
Well, I actually did. I don't know how this happened, but like a month or two ago, I actually did have my credit card number stolen. So I guess you just know, you never really know. You just have to be super on top of everything.
But you catch it and you're not liable for any losses. But who loses?
Right,
the
exactly.
Banks. The banks do.
Exactly.
And that's why the banks now say, look, Target, you got to. And the new bill, by the way, the new chip and PIN bill, and which requires that by October of next year, chip and PIN everywhere. Of course, you'll still be able to swipe and sign the old way, but chip and PIN will be more secure. And it has rules in it that say the person who's responsible for the loss is the least secure component in the system. And that's the bank saying, we want the retailers to suffer. They better install these things. And if they don't, they're going to be liable. We're no longer going to foot the bill for this. So I think it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better, and that's going to be in the next month. Ron Wyden, I just want to praise him. It's not going to happen. It's never going to work. Ron Wyden has introduced a bill to ban FBI backdoors in tech products. If there were ever a bill more likely to fail, it's this. I don't know what it is. Wyden is from Oregon, and he has been, a good, strong fighter for privacy. It's called the Secure Data Act. It would ban federal agencies from making manufacturers alter products to allow easier surveillance or search. Of course, FBI Director James Comey has requested that that be possible. He says it's necessary. Wyden says strong encryption and sound computer security are the best way to keep Americans' data safe from hackers and foreign threats. That seems obvious. Comey says it's the best way to help the terrorists. The more, this is the quote, the more we rely as a society on these devices, the more important it is law enforcement and public safety officials have a back door.
One thing about the back door here, when you put a back door in a product, ideally you're putting it for a certain market. It's either, you know, the company itself being like, oh, we want to fiddle with this, or you're giving it to the NSA. But as we've seen, security, not so great when it comes to backdoors. Mm. So, I mean, you know, you put a backdoor in my iPhone, what's to say that you don't have a talented black hat hacker from Asia or Europe or even the United States being like, oh, I found this vulnerability. Let me exploit it to the fullest extent.
Exactly.
It just doesn't seem, it's not logical.
I want to thank you guys. This has been so much fun. What a great time we've had. Thank you so much. For Lisa, the first time you do this show, it's a little bit of a whoa. You did great. Lisa Edichico is from businessinsider.com. I was going to make you play the drums. You want to do a little solo, a little paradiddle for us? No, we won't make you do that. Thank you for being here, Lisa. We appreciate it. She's on Twitter at Lisa EADICICO. Thank you for being here.
Thanks,
Lisa.
For having me.
Serenity Caldwell, always great fun having you on. And
always
I'm glad
we
could get the Peter Pan perspective from a thespian. Very important.
Ex-thespian.
But, oh, come on. You're still a thespian. Once a thespian, always at heart.
Exactly. They can't take that away from
me. No.
I
consider myself a thespian as well. I like acting.
On the radio.
That's why we want to do the drama stuff here.
We'll loop you in, Leo.
Are you going to do the Christmas? Are you going to do the Christmas thing again or no? Didn't you do a Christmas carol?
We didn't do a Christmas carol, but we did do a Christmas.
That's
special.
That's right. It was something special.
Yeah, we might have something going on for Christmas in the new year, but I cannot tell. All I know for sure in 2015 there will be new Incomparable radio plays at theincomparable.com.
Awesome. And if we were to see a Christmas or a holiday thing, it would be there too.
It would be on theincomparable.com or on the Incomparable's iTunes feed.
Awesome. So subscribe. That way you'll get it. You don't have to keep checking.
It's good fun.
At Settern on the Twitter, SETTERN. Owen, J.J. Stone is known as O Doctor. He has Superman in his powers and his abilities. Actually, you know what? That's interesting, that Superman.
I saved you, Leo.
That's exactly the outline on the back wall of our studios. Is that Superman?
It was meant to be, Uncle Leo.
I think so.
Just remember when you look back on the show who kept it on track and who was professional and focused. Just remember that it was I.
It was you.
And I also must point out, the chat room said like 8 times, Serenity Caldwell doesn't sound like a real name either. I'm going to have to check her social to make sure it's not on Sony.
Uh-oh.
You better hope you never apply for a job at Sony. I'm going to make sure that that's you and legit and everything's on the up and up. The chat room is correct. That is too fancy of a name. Too pretty, too perfect.
And we
and believe me, if I had been able to get rid of Serenity in elementary school, my childhood would have been so much more fun. That's a beautiful name as an adult. As an 11-year-old, it's a little bit frustrating.
You might not have had to been in the Boston Derby Dames had you had a normal name. You wouldn't
Serenity's
have
father.
You would
Serenity's
not.
Father's from the future, Leon. Oh, no. Because he knew that he Serenity knew. Would be an important name. He was teaching her to solder. He was making her into an electrical ninja. He's from the future. How did he know Serenity
so
was
much.
Such an important name? It really does. I think it's odd. The Illuminati. Yeah. Why is there a pyramid on my money, Leo? I don't Serenity. You got to see it, Leo. Look.
Johnny Cash. That's why his dad named him Sue. Because he knew he was going to have to grow up tough. Is this your group, the Boston Derby Dames we're looking at here?
This is the Boston Derby Dames training and recreation team. These are the ladies that I coach.
You coach? Semi-pros here.
Yeah, these are the girls who are learning how to roller skate.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
Video is from last year. So all of them are actually now much better at roller derby and all on home teams and travel teams.
And the
so
YouTube
I'm on to. Yep.
YouTube is Boston Derby Dames. That's neat. Is there a video I should show of you just jamming it?
I think if you go to videos, there is one. There's like a highlight of R2 Detonate. Let me see if I can find
R2 that. Detonate.
Yeah, it's right up. It's in the second, third row there. Third row middle, I want to say.
Boston
there
we go. R2 Detonate. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC. Please stop in. And join us live, if you can, at tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a seat out for you or just watch during the show. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video available after the fact, twit.tv or on youtube.com/thisweekintech. There she is as a thespian.
Oh, boy.
You don't cry on the phone anymore. No, you bomb them.
No.
You bash them. You smash them. You knock them to the ground.
That's me.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit.
This is amazing.
Doing the Twit.